Yeah, the fact is, if we were just sunshine Christians and could only trust God when everything was just right, we're not very deep in the Word, not very deep in our faith. Sometimes you have to trust the Lord when you don't see how He's going to do it, but you believe He is going to do it. Amen. I want you to open your Bibles to the book of Proverbs. I'm going to taxi around here just a little bit before I maybe get into it. We were supposed to be kind of teaching it on Wednesday night along, verse by verse. Book of Wisdom, of course, and we need that right now. We never got out of chapter 3, so we'll ask you to go back to chapter 3 in the book of Proverbs. And addressing the current situation, we're praying it's going to be getting better soon. Depends on what channel you listen to, what reporter you listen to, what paper you read, as to whether it's getting better or worse. The right hand don't know the left hand's doing, and that pretty much describes a lot of the Washington, D.C. crowd anyway, but the Ledger come out with a lot of fear talk today and maybe yesterday. I believe it was today was the worst. And folks, when you read articles especially, and when you listen to folks talk, watch out for the words that do not convey facts, they convey opinions. When you read words like this, if this, if that, or could be this way, could be that way. And they fill the article with that, but the headline is what they want folks to see, and the headline is not backed up often by the article that follows the headline. And so that's where a lot of the scary stuff is from. I'm for taking precautions, being wise as we can about things, but there's a lot of unfounded fear, and it causes folks, I've said this before, somebody said, you believe in ghosts? Well, ghosts can't hurt you, but they'd make me hurt myself. You ever hear that little statement? Well, sometimes the fear makes us hurt ourselves worse than what the problem was to start with. So we have to watch out for that. I talked with several ones today and was about to make a trip out of state, and I guess I've kind of succumbed to fear a little bit. They was talking scary stuff like you might go into another state and get quarantined for 2 weeks and can't get out, and all kind of scary stuff. Probably that's not true, but if they declare Florida a hot spot, then you go out of state from Florida, you got a little problem. I was reading a notice from the governor in West Virginia, good man, changed his party affiliation from Democrat to Republican, so you know he's a good man. But anyway, I think they've only had maybe, they're not sure, one possible infection, no death, in West Virginia. But to be along with the rest of them, he put out a notice that his officers might also be authorized to stop vehicles from other states. Check us out. Now, overkill is happening in so many ways, in so many various ways. But let's don't lose our head, even if other people are. Let's keep some common sense. As we get into Proverbs tonight, that's what I'll be talking about a little bit. But South Florida has got it bad, and of course you understand the different folks that come down there, from even the Super Bowl and other things. But the whole state gets painted with the same brush. What's down there is not Polk County, and it's not the rural counties north of us either. But we get painted with the same brush. So in talking to some others on the phone, I hear y'all really got it in Florida. I said, well, you wouldn't know it in my area. You know, I know what they're talking about. They're talking about what they see on the news. And they see the stuff in South Florida and so forth. Now, there is some hopeful talk today about the thing leveling off, even in New York. And the stock market took it and flew with it today. Now, I don't know if they'll crash land tomorrow or not. They're up and down. That's pretty well the way the thing works anyway. But it did shoot up today. A little more optimism, a little more hope. And I just hope we have not so destroyed the economy that it can't come back, because we have done a number on it, no doubt about it. But I will say, on a prophecy level, this is a worldwide thing. And we still don't know all the repercussions and all the fallout that's going to be and all the real facts out there. We still don't know that. But what we do know is God's still on the throne, and he's still in charge, and we're his people, and heaven's our home. And so we want to stick with that. I got a paper here, and I didn't even have a chance to read it tonight. Found it up here on the pulpit, having to do with the virus and the Israel and in Egypt, and there's a big conflict over there. I was talking about the United States restricting driving possibly from state to state. That's a rumor that's going on. But Israel had to stop it from city to city. Of course, they're small. They're hardly the size of New Jersey. Very small. So some real bad stuff is happening. On the bad side of it, some of our enemies are looking some way or another to take advantage of us. And that's something to think about also. So I'm not going to open all that up again. But as Brother Carringer was singing a while ago, same God in the dark that's in the daylight. And we can trust him just as much. Amen. In Proverbs chapter 3, now let me say again about Proverbs. Been a while since we've been in it here but it's one of the books of wisdom written by Solomon, purported to be the wisest man in the world. It's a book of philosophy. The theme of it states the causes, results, or their effects, following causes, following choices, and it tells you the advantage of choosing good over evil. And the results of that. And it establishes the laws of absolutes. See, the world's lost the law of absolutes today. Common plowboy of years gone by knew something was really right or something was really wrong. But we move to an age now where it's all the same complexion. It's just faded together. And that's not according to God's word. Jesus said, let your yea be yea and your nay be nay. He meant don't stutter about it. Don't straddle the fence. Get on the right side and stay there. And that's what we are challenged to do. Now, a young man in particular, you ought to read much in the book of Proverbs. It is good advice. The Bible says, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereunto thy word. And the word of God will build a fence around you. It'll ring the alarm bell when you start to cross the line. It's stored in your heart. The Bible says if we store his word we want to store our word, his word in our heart, that we might not sin against him. It says that if we will confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sin. These things are building fences around your life. Your life needs those fences. Once in a while, you hear a great testimony. I mentioned, I guess it was Sunday, I mentioned Mike Liddell. Is that his name, the pillar man? Anyway, he was a dope addict. He was all messed up with it, like so many people are. And got saved and knew Jesus, and look what he's done. I don't like his commercials. There's too many of them. But you got to give him credit. He found something that worked with God's blessing on it. And he's been a pretty good testimony, I understand, for the Lord. And even getting recognized by the president and so forth. But what delivered him? Hearing about the Lord Jesus Christ and following his word. That's what did it. And that's what will do it for anybody that wants to get out of the mess they're in. And here in Proverbs, it deals a lot with wisdom, God's wisdom. And the Bible says the beginning of wisdom is the fear of the Lord. Now, that's the right kind of fear. That's the starting place. That's the starting place, beginning of wisdom. Now, I've gone through some of these verses. I don't want to repeat too much. I'm going to start in verse 11 of chapter 3 and move down a little bit, kind of, hopefully kind of fast. It says, my son. Now, I like that terminology. God calls us personally, his son. My son, calling us that through Solomon. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. And here's something that you have to fight the flesh over. We don't like chastening. Bible says it's not pleasant, but the Lord chasteneth those he loves. We understand that. But notice he says, neither be weary of his correction. That means the fence he builds around you. That means the thing he tells you to do when you feel like doing the other thing, or you don't feel like doing the right thing. Don't get weary of that. Don't despise when he chastens you enough to keep you in line. Verse 12, for whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father. Now get this statement. Even as a father the son in whom he delighteth. A son won't grow up right if he don't have some guidance from his father. If his father's not a disciplinarian in his life and telling him where the boundaries are, I've had young people, I, of course, through the ministry all these years, school and college and so forth, I've had a number of young people say, I wish, I get this, parents, I wish my parents had been more strict on me. Now, you would think they'd be saying just the opposite. And I'm sure you have some that would. But what they were saying was, there was times I didn't know what to do, or I knew what was right and was doing wrong, and I wish somebody had kept me from doing it. That's what they're saying. And even as a father, his son in whom he delighteth, he wants to. And of course, in the Jewish household, father and son was a fabulous relationship. It was said, a lot of great old Jewish sayings. One of them was this: the father that raises a son without teaching him a trade raises a thief. You get the thought? He didn't raise him to work, didn't raise him to learn how, didn't raise him to take care of himself, to be self-sufficient, then what will he do when he gets desperate enough? He'll probably steal. That's a pretty deep saying. That relationship, father and son, so very important. Then he says in verse 13, happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding. Now get those two words, wisdom and understanding, because they play on through the next two verses, and they are actually personified, and they begin to be put into the female gender. Ladies, you ought to like that part. And talks about them in the female gender. Then it says, verse 14, for the merchandise of it, the wisdom, the understanding is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof than fine gold. She, now the she comes back to the wisdom and understanding personified. She is more precious than rubies, and all the things thou canst desire are not to be compared with her. Now, boy, that's a strong statement. I guarantee you, most folks, you say, well, let me give you a check for $1 million. You can have $1 million, or I'll give you wisdom. Most folks would take $1 million. But without wisdom, they'd lose it pretty quick or do something bad with it. He's saying that wisdom, God's wisdom, is ahead of gold and silver, or the things of this world, precious stones and so forth, he's comparing it to. She is more precious than rubies. Now let's drop down to verse 16. Here's one of the things you can't buy with money: gold, silver, precious stones, length of days. Verse 16, length of days is in her right hand, and in her left hand riches and honor. Notice which one comes first. God gives good health and wisdom, length of days. By the way, length of days, if you work, I think about a little old sign a fellow had in his office many years ago. I saw it before I went in the ministry. Here it says, length of days in her right hand, in her left hand riches and honor. Little sign, behind the man's desk. I don't remember if it was a banker or attorney or who it was now. But said this. Said everything comes to him that waiteth, as long as he works like the devil while he waits. Now you understand what the man was saying. He was saying, know how to work, be sufficient, earn your own way, take care of your own keep, so to speak. And that'll fit right into the Proverbs here. But wisdom is precious. And it says, all the things thou canst desire, in verse 15, are not to be compared unto her. Length of days is in her right hand, and her left hand riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. Man, these are powerful words if you get a hold of them. She is a tree of life to them that lay hold upon her, and happy is everyone that retaineth her. I've heard folks say, well, he's so dumb, he's plumb happy, and you don't know. Well, he may be in better shape than you are if you're worried about everything, and he's not. Think about it a little bit. She's a tree of life, and happy is everyone that retaineth her. Happy. A lot of folks got happiness mixed up with getting something. Coveting something they may never get steals her happiness often does. But happiness is being content with what we have. And one of the things that TV, when it started showing pictures many years ago, and of course they got worse and worse, and now with all the stuff that's on it. But you know what that does? It gets in young people's heads, the pictures. The old saying, a picture's worth a thousand words. Well, what it's talking about is it gets in there and we picture things in our mind. That's natural. Before there was ever a TV, we had our own in our head. We made our own imagination, our own pictures. We understand that. Anybody ever do any daydreaming? You know what daydreaming is. Hope. I'm talking about you wide awake, but you got maybe your eyes shut and your mind's working overtime and you're daydreaming. I've seen a lot of class students that way. I used to daydream at night before I'd go to sleep. Anybody ever do that? I was thinking about it the other night. I don't sleep as good as I did when I was young, for sure. Probably not as tired out in the same way. But I remember that old house behind the hotel. I lived in that from the sixth grade until I graduated in the 12th grade. And the front room, they could call it a living room if they wanted to, but we had two beds in it. And that's where I grew those 6 years. And of course, we could go down to Lake Eva and swim. That was about the only free thing you could do in town, I reckon, at that time. But I'd lay in that bed, and I'd build myself a sailboat in my mind, a nice one. I mean, even as a young person, I had a little bit of talent for driving nails and sawing boards and stuff when I had a chance. And I built that sailboat like you wouldn't believe. I built it a number of nights. And sometime I think I actually took it into dreamland with me. But I want to tell you something. Because I didn't have the money, I never built that sailboat. Never did. And I got to thinking about it the other night. I don't know why it flashed through my mind. There's a big lake behind my house. I could build a sailboat. I could probably even get the money up to build one like I dreamed about when I was 11 years old, 10 years old. But you know what? I don't have no interest in it now. I don't want to do it now. I just happened to have the thought. Remember, I used to lay awake building a sailboat. Isn't it amazing how our values change as we get a little smarter? You say, Pastor Carter's out there working on his sailboat. What does he need that for? You don't. You don't need it at all. But I think about how things go up and down and how we are happy about things that later on don't even trigger us at all, don't excite us at all. We don't even see any value. I don't see any value in that now. But I'd have been so happy if I could have built that sailboat at that time. But now, I said this before. Anybody ever remember childhood prayers, things you asked for? Have you ever thanked God for the fact he didn't give them to you? Right? I remember that girl, first time I saw her, it was fourth grade. She came in a little bit late. We were having spelling bee up around. Anybody know what a spelling bee, the old-fashioned ones where they stand you up around the wall? And remember that? Of all things, she come in, brand new student, and stood side of me in that line. And prettiest thing I ever saw in my life, looking out the side of my eye at her. And I stood stiff as I could, my best manners. You know what? After a while, all the boys felt the same way. She was beautiful. Until we got used to looking at her. And then she was just another girl. And I tell you the truth, I don't think I ever officially had a date with her even after we graduated together. But I'd have been so happy if she'd have just looked at me in those early grades. Things change on us a lot, don't they? I remember after school, and we had a 10 or 20 year, whatever it was, class reunion. Anybody ever go to them things? Don't the people at them look so old? Right? And they look at you and think the same thing. Right? But I remember about the 10th or 20th, whichever it was, and that girl was there. Because see, I remember as a kid praying about that pretty girl that just come to class. But when I saw her after we graduated about 10 years, I said, thank you, Lord. You didn't answer that prayer. Now I'm being a little facetious with it. But what we measure happiness by, if we're not careful, is a fleeting thought, a fleeting time in our life, as not much of nothing. When we get into the Bible, get in God's Word, and find out what's important, see the world and see souls and see our relationship with God as being the most important thing, how cheap some of that other stuff looks, how foolish some of it looks when you make your comparison to it. And I think about that as I go through Proverbs here. And happy. Happy if you got wisdom, not if you got the girl. Happy not if you got the millions, but happy is everyone that retaineth wisdom. So you got a right to be happy if you into God's wisdom, no matter what your bank account is or whatever else. It says, the Lord by wisdom hath founded the earth, by understanding hath he established the heavens. Those two things again. By his knowledge, the depths are broken up and the clouds drop down the dew. Now, science studies all this, but God knows all about it. Then he switches back and he says, my son, let not them, these two things he's talking about, all this wisdom, depart from thine eyes. Keep sound wisdom and discretion. Discretion, another word for it there. So shall they be life unto thy soul and grace to thy neck. Then shalt thou walk in thy way safely. Tell you what, you need help to walk safely through this world. God's wisdom will help you walk safely. God's wisdom from his word, and thy foot shall not stumble. When thou liest down, now here we go again in verse 24. When thou liest down, thou shalt not be afraid. Folks, you'd be surprised how many people lie down and all they do, they don't count sheep, they count their fears, they count their worries, they count the worst side of things. My mother used to could see danger in anything, and she was quick to put words to it with us kids. And even as growing up, I saw the foolishness sometime of worrying about that that has not yet happened and may not ever happen. And we have to be careful about that. The devil loves to bluff us. He is a roaring lion. Somebody said, some big game hunter said, that a lion, just before he pounces on his prey, lets out a terrible roar. The roar is to freeze the victim, make him still with fear, freeze him with fear, and he's easier to grab. And I thought about, that's what the devil does. He goes around roaring, scaring people, freezing them in their tracks, stopping them from doing what they know is right, setting them up, as it were. Roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And when you lie down at night, don't let the devil steal your peace. And he says here, if you keep this God's wisdom and this discretion he mentioned, all this that's personified in the female gender there, when thou liest down, thou shalt not be afraid. Well, that's big. That's big. That's something you can't get out of a pill. That's something from the Lord. Yea, thou shalt lie down, and thy sleep shall be sweet. Now, the Bible says the sleep of a laboring man is sweet. Here it says, thy sleep shall be sweet. That's because your mind is not cluttered with fear. In this virus thing, a lot of folks have let their fear overcome their reason to a great degree. I had a preacher talking to me on the phone earlier this afternoon, well, late this afternoon, not too long before I got ready to come back to church. And he was telling me about a lady in his church that had gotten the bug, got the virus. And she probably wouldn't have even gone to the doctor, but the place where she worked made her go. And she went, and sure enough, it tested positive. But in 3 days, she was over all the symptoms and everything. Now they're going to not let her come back to work for another 3 or 4 days, but she just said nothing to it. Now, it grabs some people different than others. They tell me men have trouble with it more than women. All the stuff you hear, you don't know what to believe anymore. I think it'd be simple. One individual reacts to one thing different than another. That's all there is to it. We can't just paint it all with the same brush. But how many folks are fearing that thing beyond common sense? I've said this to you before, the old saying that a coward dies many times, but a brave man only once. See what I'm talking about? We got to watch it, because fear is the roaring lion's trick. It is the devil's trick to steal our peace from us and to have sweet sleep. Now, you can have other things that keep you from sleeping, like old age. I got plenty of that. It makes a difference. But some folks, their worries is what steals their sleep. I think it was John Wesley, the old-time preacher that so much Wesleyan College and Wesleyan Church, you stuff named after him. But old John Wesley said, I'd soon sin as worry. What he was saying was, worry is sin, because worry is a lack of trust in God with whatever the problem is. Now, I'm not going to kid you. We've all been down that road. We've all done it. But did you ever catch yourself say, wait a minute, what kind of message am I sending to God? Is this too big for God? Does he have power enough to take care of this too? Sometimes we need to have a schedule an appointment with ourselves and kind of say, wait a minute, don't you believe the Bible? Don't you know a verse to counteract what you're fretting over right now? That's where peace comes from, is trusting God with it. And here it warns us about being, verse 25, afraid of sudden fear. This virus thing come on the world here fast, came on America fast. And suddenly, it seemed like to us, but sudden fear. Neither are the desolation of the wicked when it cometh, and the wicked's going to do their thing. But the Bible's telling us not to fear it. For the Lord shall be thy confidence, that thou should keep thy feet from being taken. So here in the Proverbs, we can get a lot of comfort and a lot of strength. It tells us to hold on to wisdom and understanding that comes from God. It's more precious than gold and silver. And it'll give us peace when we lie down to sleep. And it'll take away the fear. It says, for the Lord shall be thy confidence. Confidence. You ever notice how a confident person gets the job done better than one is fearful and shy about it? Sure. And shall keep thy foot from being taken, being tripped up. Withhold not good from them to whom it is due, when it is in thy power of thine own hand to do it. Now, we have to watch this. You got a lot of folks that's going to abuse anything good you try to do for them, but at the same time, don't let that block you from the one that genuinely needs help, that you can help. And so it gives us some good wisdom here, good advice. I know we have in the past, and I've told you stories about, I remember a lady come to the office door one time, and she had and I was walking out, so I met her about really the office and walked out the side the church door with her, and she had a brand new shiny vehicle, caught my eye, because I like things like that, to look at them. But anyway, she needed a car payment. And she thought, I ought to get it for her. Never seen her before in my life. I said, that car? Well, yeah. I said, that could probably be a pretty steep payment. And I don't remember the figures, but it was several hundred dollars. And she got a little bit peeved at me because I said, you see my car sitting over there? It looked pretty shabby compared to what she would drive. I said, if I was going to make a car payment like that, I might make one for myself. Well, pitiful. But that's the way we've raised a generation that thinks they've got, all they got to do is ask for it. And I fear, even with this bailout package, I'm for helping get out of this mess every way we can. But I want to tell you something. We dug a pretty deep hole in our national debt. We really have. And if this thing keeps on going, they're talking about doing it again now. They're going to dig the bottom out of the hole. And it's really something. But you and I that know the Lord, we ought to have some confidence in Him. We pray over folks you can help when you should. And you know, God's pretty good about revealing the truth. God's taught me a few lessons about maybe giving somebody something when I shouldn't have, but I've always kind of taken the position, well, they'll have to answer the Lord for it if they abused it. But you still feel bad when you know you've been taken. Again, the office right there. I remember a fella come in and wanted a handout. For some reason, seemed like he had been here before. I had hired him to pull some weeds out of the grass or something and gave him a little money personally for it. But anyway, he came back. I seemed like I kind of recognized him. But anyway, and this has been a few years back. $10 was more than it is now, I reckon. But I pulled out my billfold and gave him $10. And I didn't think anything about it. He left. I called myself, buying him something to eat. And he left. And I get in my car to go to Winter Haven Hospital. So I'm driving right down Henson, right down in front of where the old City Hall was. But to the left of where the old City Hall was, there was an ABC liquor store in those days. And I realized that the red light there at 6th Street, when the red light caught the car in front of me, I stopped behind it and I could see through the back window, and I wasn't looking, I just, it was in front of me. There was a man driving the car I didn't know. There was a woman in the middle. And the guy I just gave $10 to was sitting shotgun, we used to call it, on the right-hand side. And the light changed, and of course I was right behind him, and I thought, that's that guy I just gave 10 bucks to. The light changed, they pulled right past the city hall, turned the drive into the ABC liquor. I knew what I had just done. I had just bought him a bottle. And you know my temptation, because I was a lot younger then, my temptation was to pull right in behind him and get my $10 back. But then I could see the headlines, preacher in brawl, liquor store. I thought, no, better not. But the Lord said, you got to be careful, son. Now, he didn't buy a hamburger. He bought a bottle. And you're going to have that happen. But then there's the legitimate, genuine time that we want to be careful where we could help somebody and don't. I've learned a few lessons like that, but you can't judge them all by that. Some of them are genuine. Verse 28, say not unto thy neighbor, go and come again, and tomorrow I will give thee when thou hast it by thee. Devise not evil against thy neighbor, seeing he dwelleth securely by thee. Bible has a lot to say about treating your neighbor right. Then it says, strive not with a man without cause. Don't say never strive. It says without cause. There's a difference. And if he hath done thee no harm, without cause is when he's done you no harm. In verse 31, envy thou not the oppressor and choose none of his ways. And boy, it's so easy to envy that one. The psalmist talked about that. Talked about how everything seemed to go right for the guy doing wrong. He said, I couldn't understand until I went to the house of God. Remember? That's where the understanding came to him. It says here, envy thou not the oppressor, choose none of his ways, for the froward, and that word simply means the perverse, for the froward is abomination to the Lord, but his secret is with the righteous. Now, comparison, the Proverbs makes the comparison. The perverse one is an abomination to the Lord. Opposite, but his secret, God's secret, is with the righteous. Here you got the bad and the good compared. Verse 33, the curse of the Lord is in the house of the wicked. Wow. You can see that. All you got to do is keep up with the news a little bit. But, opposite side of the street now, the word but crosses you over. But he blesseth the habitation of the just. Somebody says, I don't see any point in worshiping, serving God, and going to church. Well, what kind of habitation do you want? You want to live on the curse of God or the blessing of God? That's what's contained in that verse right there. How many folks have to go out and prove that by experience? All the time proving it. Preachers can tell you. All the time proving it. Sad, but it's true. Then he says, surely he scorneth the scorners. Again, the word but crosses the street, opposite truth. But he giveth grace unto the lowly. The wise shall inherit glory, but shame shall be the promotion of fools. Proverbs is so helpful. It's where the tire meets the road. It's a comparison. Doing right, doing wrong, being blessed, being cursed, being in favor with God or not having God's favor on you. All of that's packed into these verses. Tremendous, tremendous wisdom. No wonder it's called one of the books of wisdom. And I would say to you, it's an instruction manual for life. Have you ever looked in the glove compartment of your car and got that book out to see if you could find out which light bulb was at or out or what the trouble was? Half the time they don't do a good job, but there are instructor's manuals. And this Bible right here is an instructor's manual to you and I to help us down the road of life. And it will if we'll let it. Father, thank you for the word. May you bless the choir now as they get ready for Sunday. Father, it's Easter Sunday, and Lord, we know it's going to be a little different than what's been in the past, far as the crowd goes. But dear God, we recognize that Jesus lives every Sunday, not just Easter Sunday. Help us, Father, to be a testimony, not only to those that might hear us in the building, but Father, so many now that are listening online and on radio, we pray that you'd bless us to still represent the Lord Jesus Christ, and we ask it in his name. Amen.